Hello again, everyone. Bernie Miklas here with you with another Bernie Miklas show on my YouTube channel. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks for all your support. Appreciate your comments. Please hit the like button, all that good stuff. Looking forward to the start of baseball season. And first, before that, though, you got to get through spring training. It's kind of fun. Some of the stuff, different topic, different day. Let's start with the story of since late last night, or last night anyway. As you undoubtedly know by now, the Red Sox signed Alex Bregman to a three-year deal worth $120 million, though he does have an opportunity to opt out after 2025 and after 2026. And he ain't going to opt out because they're paying him $40 million a year, and he's already in his decline phase, starting to be on that slope that goes down. So he won't be opting out. He's in Boston to stay. And Bregman in Boston means it's equal to Nolan Arenado in St. Louis. In other words, it's got to be a long shot, I would think, for Arenado to be traded at this point. The Red Sox, by far, were the most likely trade destination. Had they lost out on Bregman, they would have pivoted to Arenado. That doesn't mean that the Cardinals and the Red Sox would have actually worked out the terms of a deal. And the Cardinals continue to resist this idea that they have to eat a lot of the $64 million remaining on Arenado's contract. So I'm not sure, despite everything they say, I mean, how motivated can you be to trade him when you would have, in theory, a chance if some team says you got to take, and I talked about this the other day, so I'm sorry to repeat it. Some people would say, yeah, we'll trade you a prospect or whatever, but you have to take, you have to absorb $32 million of the $64 million that he still has coming to him. Well, if you're motivated to trade him, if it was so crucial to trade him, well, you'd still would save $32 million by eating half the contract. So, as is the case with the Cardinals in the last couple of years, I remain very much confused. But we do know this, with Bregman setting up at Fenway Park, Arenado's not going to be shipping up to Boston. Nah, ain't going to happen. If Arenado stays with the Cardinals, it is not a crisis. Your boy here has been saying that for a couple, 3 weeks now. I've written about it, talked about it here a couple times. It is not a crisis if he stays. In some ways, it makes the Cardinals a better team. In some ways, at least there's some clarity and they can start to get to work on some stuff. It's only a crisis if you bought into the bogus marketing pitch of 2025 being a reset season for the Cardinals. It's a crisis only if you are concerned about the Cardinals owing Arenado that $64 million guaranteed over the final 3 years of his contract, if in fact he plays the final three seasons of his contract here in St. Louis. Maybe he's traded some point 2025 or maybe not. But I don't know why people would be so concerned over how much money Bill DeWitt's spending on Arenado. A lot of y'all want the owner to spend, right? Well, he's spending on Arenado, so why should that bother you if he's going to pay him full tab over the next three seasons? They went and got him. They're paying for him. Didn't build a good team around him. Arenado did some things wrong, too, as far as his postseason performance, especially, but whatever. I want to move on from that. My point is, from a baseball standpoint, this is not an emergency. It isn't a big deal. Arenado still plays very good defense. He's got a quicker bat. At least he showed flashes of that last summer, July and August. He had really good numbers. That's when his bat speed were at the highest levels over those 2 months. And he still has a chance to get better offensively. You say, well, why do you, he'll be 34. Why would you say he has a chance to get better offensively? He was above average last year. But there's one thing, Mr. Research here, I missed out on that really caught my attention earlier this week. Nolan Arenado slugged .433 at Busch Stadium last year. And if a hitter can slug, especially a right-handed hitter, can slug .433 at Busch Stadium, there's some life in the bat. That's my only point. He's still got a very high contact rate. He doesn't swing and miss much. He doesn't strike out much. Doesn't hit the ball real hard, but he never really has, even during his great years. There's still a lot to like about Nolan Arenado. As I mentioned to you in a recent video, if we just include wins above replacement when he played third base, like he was a terrible DH, I'm throwing that out. just when playing third base. He had 3.4 wins above replacement as a third baseman last year, and that WAR total was the sixth best in the majors at third base. So if no trade gets done over the next few days before he's supposed to check in Jupiter, I don't really care if it's awkward at first. It really doesn't matter to me at all. And I don't know really why it would be awkward after everyone says, hello, good to have you back. Let's have a great season. Why would it be awkward? It's been a Cardinal since 1921, right? You know, it's not like he's a stranger walking in, or, you know, he's walking in with, never mind. I was going to use some bad examples. So let me just move on here. Here's the deal. I've said this before, and I think since we're resetting, there I go with that word. Since we're resetting the Arenado situation, let me remind everyone, this guy has really fierce pride, immense pride. He knows there wasn't much interest out there in trading for him unless it was a complete one-sided deal for the team that acquired him. You know, he thought the teams would come pitching, man, pitching deals to the Cardinals. It didn't work out that way. And the one team that did, Houston, and they would have had a deal, but Arenado vetoed it because he thought there was going to be better options, better places, better teams. It hasn't worked out that way, has it? You know, Arenado at times seemed rather desperate this offseason. You know, he was using social media to lobby the Dodgers. He was using social media when Yankees fans, after they signed Goldschmidt, Yankees fans were sending him messages on social media, say, oh, now it's your turn, sign with the Yankees. And he was hitting the love button or the like button or whatever. And even recently, when the Boston rumors or speculation intensified, Arenado put something on his social media with a photo of Manny Ramirez. Now, he didn't use the Red Sox uniform, but he was making a point. He was campaigning to the Red Sox. Oh, I want to be this, like this guy. So all of these teams have rejected him. I don't know that the Red Sox would have, but the point is there was very limited interest in Arenado, and some of that is because, of course, he had the no trade clause. So that's what you would expect. And then, you know, as far as the Astros, again, he had his chance to get to a better place as far as baseball is concerned in terms of state of the team. And that decision hasn't worked out so well. Now, could other teams come calling? There's some stuff, you know, to talk about here. And let me get to that in a minute. I want to cover some other stuff and sort of finish my train of thought that I was on. This offseason rejection must be pretty distressing to Arenado. If he's back with the Cardinals, he obviously knows it's in his best interest to be totally fired up, play hard, continue to work on his offense, be a good teammate, show people that all the negative narratives about him are wrong, prove everyone wrong, metaphorically wave the bat at him and say, oh, you didn't like me, huh? Look at me now. Because if he has a really good season, and again, this is one of the preeminent third basemen in the modern times, he has a really good season, you know, and teams are going to start looking for a third baseman. He's going to have a lot of appeal. And if he still wants to leave St. Louis, if it's to the right place, there'll be more of a chance of that happening if he has a really good season. So, listen, I think Nolan Arenado is highly motivated all the time, but there are times he gets bummed out and he wears it. You can see it. It's not a good look. But other teams see that too. And I have to think that the teams that may have given some thought about, you know, getting involved in some conversations, they may have been reluctant to do so. The body language is so bad. Who wants a cranky guy in a clubhouse and all that stuff? Well, he has a chance to prove all that wrong or to say he's moved on. He is changed. He's going to be an excellent teammate. He's not going to be grumpy out on the field all the time, that grumpy look that he gives off, right? So if other teams are pondering Arenado as the summer starts to roll on and the Cardinals still have him, well, if he does his job and does it better than last year offensively and he's a good guy in the clubhouse and all that, he's got a total outstanding opportunity to enhance the perception of him around Major League Baseball. And here's the deal. So, because I've talked about this too, but let's just hit the reset again. With Arenado still in the St. Louis lineup, as long as he is, it's going to be more difficult to find all the at-bats you want to distribute to the people that are in line to get them had they traded him. And I'm not going to review that. You know what we're talking about. And manager Ollie Marmol is going to have to change his thinking about center field. Now, see, this is one of the things, as I've mentioned before, this is one of the things I think is good about Arenado staying, if in fact he does stay, because the Cardinals got to improve offensively. It was the weakest part of the team last year. It was brutal. And having Lars Nootbaar playing in center field, which I think will happen with Arenado staying at third base, because you got Brendan Donovan a lot in left field, Burleson a little bit in left field, maybe a fourth outfielder in left field, whatever. But the point is, Nootbaar, if you want him to play a lot, he'll have to be in center. And that's a positive. Why is that a positive? Because last season, the Cardinals, out of the center field position, got a .209 batting average, a horrendous .541 OPS, and four home runs and 564 at bats from center field. Listen, this team does not have the luxury of starting a defensive specialist in center field. And Ollie Marmol is just going to have to, you know, accept that and move on. You know, this is in some like superpower team where he's like, well, we don't have a center fielder that go get the ball. So we can live with a poor offensive player in center field because we're loaded everywhere else. The Cardinals are not that team. And as far as the challenge of finding enough at bats for everybody who's lining up to take them, well, that's too bad. Managing ain't supposed to be easy. And if Marmol can't do that, then he shouldn't be the manager, but I do think he'll figure it out. Just like every other manager in the history of the game has figured stuff like that out. If Arenado stays, however, the position players the Cardinals have right now, including him, they took 82.5% of the plate appearances last season. Among the hitters, the only, quote, named departure from 2024 is Paul Goldschmidt. So, and then you look at the rotation, subject to change, obviously, but as we sit here today, again, subject to change, some will. The Cardinals have a starting rotation that's got five starters who were here last season. So once again, tell me, how is this a reset? It's not. That's the answer. I won't even get into whether they should have traded Eric Fetty and Ryan Helsley because they're pending free agents. They're on expiring contracts. If they walk, the Cardinals get nothing. And for the people to continue to say, well, you can trade them at the trade deadline. Yeah, you can. You can trade them at the trade deadline. Number one, if Fetty's pitching really well and there's an interest in him. Number two, if Helsley's pitching well. Number three, if both of them remain healthy. But here's the deal. If you're looking to trade a Helsley or a Fetty, and there might be some really good interest in them at the deadline, there will be no interest if they blow out an elbow or do something to their shoulder. So this is be the time to trade them. And I've said enough about this already. This just shows you the lunacy of this Cardinals plan, whatever this is, where they're calling it a reset, but they're really not trying to win, because if they were trying to win, they would be adding talent to the major league roster, and they haven't done that yet. And I'm talking about non-fringy talent. Buster Olney had this to say on his X account, ESPN's baseball writer and analyst. He had this to say about Arenado's status in the aftermath of the Bregman to Boston signing. And I quote Buster, quote, Arenado moves to the forefront in the third base market now that Bregman's off the board. The Yankees have not been engaged in conversations with the Cardinals about him. And I believe that. But I also believe the Yankees could try to jump in now that the hated Red Sox, their arch rival, have signed Bregman. But with Boston no longer an option, even if the Yankees did want to kind of make inquiries again, they have a lot more leverage on the Cardinals because Boston's not a candidate to bring Arenado there. So the Yankees feel, well, we can probably go in there and muscle the Cardinals. We can get them to do what we proposed earlier in the offseason. We can get them to take Marcus Stroman off our hands, and that'll offset a good part of the cost of Arenado coming to New York with $64 million left on his contract. I mean, it'd be silly to rule out anybody calling the Cardinals to just check the temperature, including the Yankees. But let me just say this, and it's related because I just brought up Marcus Stroman. My goodness, I can't tell you how many emails I've received, or even in our comment section here, or if you go look at some online forums and stuff. And I'm not saying this represents everybody's view, but I'm just like astonished by the number of people that think it would be a good idea for the Cardinals to take Marcus Stroman as the price of getting rid of Nolan Arenado. Not getting rid of him, but moving on from him. Let me just be blunt here. If the Yankees come back to the Cardinals and say, yeah, we want him, but you're going to have to take Stroman because we got to kind of even this out a little bit financially. First of all, the Yankees have as much money, and they have as much money as any team in professional sports. So I think they could be okay taking on Arenado's salary. But number two, let me be very blunt about this. The Cardinals would be absolute idiots to take the fading starting pitcher that Stroman is and his $18.3 million salary just to offset some money owed to Arenado. In case you want to know why I have such a strong opinion on that, well, listen carefully as I review these notes. First of all, Stroman turns 34 in May, and he's got a history of injuries, including last year. He had some minor injuries. Among 67 major league starters who worked at least 150 innings last year, 67 is the number there. He ranked 54th in ERA, 58th out of 67 in fielding independent ERA, and he was 62nd out of 67 in wins above replacement. His strikeout rate declined. His walk rate went up. And should Stroman pitch 140 innings this season, it kicks in a vesting option, which means he would automatically receive a salary of $18.3 million again for 2026. Other than that, I guess we could say he's, you know, Zach Wheeler, right? Maybe he's Dylan Cease, except for all those things. Oh, and by the way, his presence would block a young pitcher from moving into the rotation. There are times when, never mind. Hey, the Tigers need a third baseman, and they're a good team that can be even better in 2025. I mean, their time's coming. They were in the postseason last year. They're only going to get better, I think. That's a tough ballpark for right-handed hitters, and I'd be surprised if Arenado would really want to go there. Padres, they're holding the line on cost this season. General manager A.J. Preller can't do what he normally likes to do, which is to throw money around like crazy because there is a contentious ownership situation. You got lawsuits flying around between the late owners of the Padres, the late owner's widow, and the late owner's brother or brothers. Everybody's suing each other. And the Padres have been told, you got to hold the line on spending. But they did allow A.J. Preller to do something that he wanted to do, maybe as a prelude to trading Dylan Cease for prospects. So the Padres just signed Nick Pivetta, free agent starting pitchers, to $55 million. But that's it. They're not going to splurge on Nolan Arenado. And he would have to play first base anyway. Dodgers, no room. They just re-signed Kike Hernandez. They have a populated infield. Maybe even an overpopulated infield. The Angels, okay. They're reportedly on Arenado's list of approved destination. That's because he's an Orange County guy. That's his home. And some of you have pointed out the Angels won't have colossal free agent bus Anthony Rendon to play third base in 2025 because, surprise, 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 there's another injury. He's lost for the season because he needs hip surgery. What else is new? The Angels are really stupid. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just not sure why they would take on Arenado's contract, but have at it if they want him. The Royals have interest in Arenado. There's some other teams like the Royals that have interest in Arenado, but he doesn't apparently have interest in them, or he would not have kept them off his here are the five teams list. Yeah, Mozeliak and the Cardinals are in a bizarre place right now. They are not resetting. They are not contending. They have talent. They are capable of having a solid season, a winning season. But to this stage, the front office hasn't made any attempt to improve the major league roster in a non-fringy way. And as he enters his final season as the president of baseball operations, I'm trying to think of John Mozeliak's value and how it has reached, I think right now, has reached an all-time low during his term in St. Louis. The one thing I can say about value is he's taking all of the criticisms, all the hits, all the sharp arrows, all of the cudgeling, all of the ridicule. He's kind of a human shield, if you will, for Chaim Bloom, who will be taking over as the top baseball executive in this organization after the season. Bloom is busy with the minor league project, which is a huge project. It's not something you get done in 2 weeks. But also, I think the Cardinals believed, and I know that Bloom agreed, it would be best for him to have a fresh start beginning after this season where he is officially in charge of everything. So Bloom right now has had nothing to do with this Arenado fiasco or nothing to do with a major league roster that has received no attention this offseason. I think Bloom, who wanted to concentrate on the resuscitation of the player development and minor league system, I think he was really, really smart to stay away from this mess in St. Louis and keep himself busy with this rebuild of something really important, the player development system that Bill DeWitt and John Mozeliak let fall apart for no good reason. There was no reason whatsoever. It was a huge mistake. And as I told you many times, and I'll do it again, this was Bloom's call. He wanted to be on this project this year because he thought it was such a monumental project and so vital to the future of the Cardinals. And he's right. Bloom isn't a doofus. It's really best for Mozeliak to absorb all the wallops, take all the punches and the bruises, which allows Bloom to start fresh without tarnish or taint after this season when he succeeds Mozeliak. So I guess that's Mozeliak's value. He's the punching bag. He is seated in the dunking booth. This probably ain't the farewell season scenario that Mozeliak envisioned, but Chairman DeWitt and Mozeliak are responsible for the Cardinals' decline into mediocrity and chaos. So if we look at it this way, then Mo is getting the appropriate send-off. Maybe there will be a team some part of the season, early in the middle or before the deadline, who will need a third baseman. And if a Nolan Arenado is doing really well, his market appeal will increase. And as Buster only pointed out, and I went and looked at Fangraphs roster resource in terms of how Arenado's now the number one third baseman who would be available. That ain't saying much, however, but it's true. Can I give you the list provided by roster resource of like what third baseman? They may not be one position only a third baseman, but they can play third base. Paul DeJong, Whit Merrifield, Matt Duffy, some dude named Vargas, Miguel Sano, who the Twins got rid of, Joey Wendell or Wendell. You have Nick Senzel. You have Aledmys Diaz. Sorry, all these names are tying me up. Yeah, so I would hope he'd be the number one third base candidate for teams looking for a third baseman. So maybe there's a chance this would all end well for Mo and the Cardinals, especially I'm talking about and Arenado, all three, Mo and Arenado's agent and Bill DeWitt. And they all probably would get what they want. And they would be happy. But I repeat, there is nothing wrong with having Nolan Arenado at third base for the Cardinals this year. There is nothing wrong with that at all. He still has a lot of value. And even though we in the media talk about, well, he didn't hit this, he didn't do that, he's getting older, I've done that. Whoa, though. The Cardinals started all of this right at the end of the season when they gave their famous press conference about a reset that never became a reset. And John Mozeliak at the winter meetings in early December, you know, we're confident we can trade Nolan Arenado. We're confident we'll make a deal. It's just, you know, maybe it's not the time right now. There's a lot to work through, but we're confident we can trade him. And then famously at the winter warmup in January, Mozeliak said when asked about Arenado, he said trading Arenado was priority number one, priority number two, and priority number three. I do believe that's three strikes. But Mo isn't out because there's still a chance if Nato puts together a really good season and looks like he's having some fun, and a team, a contending team's lost a third baseman, or their third baseman stinks defensively, especially, there could still be a market for Nolan Arenado. So we'll see. This story doesn't seem to end. I make no apologies for talking about it today because there was a fresh news development on this. And I just wanted to kind of reset this whole situation in my own brain here. So anyway, I appreciate you all for being with me as usual. And we'll be back tomorrow, if not sooner. If there's some breaking news, I'll hop back on. But anyway, thank you again. Thank you very, very much for your support of the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube.